Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 566, Incoming Blitz, recorded live on January 12th, 2017. Hello everyone, welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And welcome to the prelude of Halo Wars 2. We are just about 5 weeks away from the launch of the game. And we have some new information on the next beta that we were promised coming around the corner. Actually, might be a little sooner, or actually a little later than some people may think, because we're 5 weeks out and we're getting a beta next week. Which is kind of weird. Anyways, there is some new information regarding some of the Halo Wars 2 pre-release stuff and the collector's editions and all the different physical editions that you can get and a whole bunch of other things that kind of came out over the holidays when the staff kind of took off from writing community updates. So because we actually recorded this on Thursday, because Tuesday my work decided to make me work a couple of hours that day, we didn't get a chance to record, so we pushed it back to Thursday. And no joke, 30 minutes before we started recording, they released the community update. So we've got quite a bit of stuff to talk about. But let's go ahead and start with that, and then we'll get into some of the Halo Wars 2 Blitz beta stuff that people are probably interested in hearing. So we'll kind of skip around that stuff for now in the community update, and we'll go to some of the other stuff. So we'll get to like pre-orders and collectible stuff and whatnot. We'll loop back around to that in a second. So first thing on the community update that's not Halo Wars 2 specific is that the first event for the Halo World Championship Series 2017 season is starting up here in just over a week. So the first official event is going to be in St. Louis for the weekend of January 20th through the 22nd. And that is UGC St. Louis. All that goes down starting at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time over on twitch.tv/Halo. And in normal fashion, they're going to be giving away Halo 5 Gold Rec Pack codes that you can redeem over on halo.gg and get some free Halo 5 Gold Rec Packs. I got two from watching the Winter Finals, so that was cool.
Cool. I may have to tune in.
Yes. Live to twitch.tv/Halo. And they're also broadcasting it over, I think they've been broadcasting it on their YouTube channel as well as their new Beam channel. And Beam is actually the most live time version of the broadcast that you can get since it has its low latency broadcaster. So any one of those platforms where you like to watch your favorite streamers, whether it be Twitch, YouTube, or Beam, any of those places, you will likely be able to find some nice Halo action to go watch. For the attendees of the event, there's going to be an exclusive legendary emblem that you can get for attending the event. And there's a seeding match cup that's actually happening this weekend that's going to help seed the tournament, but nothing too huge. It's not going to be officially streamed, but that is happening this weekend. And there's some other updates that got posted over the weekend as well regarding some information for the Halo Wars Championship that's coming up, and the finals for that is going to be another Halo tournament it's going to be in California. I don't think it's going to be in Burbank. I don't know if it's going to be in the same place it was last year or not. They haven't released details on that yet, but I'm hoping that we can go out there next year and help cover that, get some more interviews like we did last time and all that fun stuff. And there have been some team changes, of course. Team dynamics always seem to change. And we'll have to see with how things kind of went with CLG kind of just blasting everybody out last year and the dynamics that have changed this year on who's really going to put up the fight. And also the international teams that will be coming along to battle for that title as well. Lots of interesting things going to happen with the Halo World Championship and the Halo Championship Series.
Definitely. It's going to be interesting to see what the team changes do.
They always seem to change up a little bit of the dynamic, and I know a lot of the roster changes always tend to lean favor in one team's direction or another. And I mean, the fact that CLG kind of lost steam, and I think they traded maybe two players out, kind of, it was either that or did they disband? I don't remember exactly. But either way, there's always team dynamic changes. There's usually team changes throughout till like the last 2 weeks before a big finals or whatever. But it is what it is. And we are looking forward to what's coming. Personally, for me, the big thing for the The Halo World Championships is seeing the international teams come and play and seeing what they're able to do and how they adapt to the play styles of the Americans, since the Americans have had Halo for a long time and they usually get a lot more playing time because of being in the populated area that plays a lot of Halo. But it would be nice to see if another international team can break that top half ranking, as we saw last year. One of the UK teams was able to hit top 8. So it'd be nice to see if we can have another international team hit top 6.
Yeah, it's always good when you see the international teams do well. Unfortunately, they seem to have a disadvantage when it comes to playing here in the States against the American teams. But
yeah,
you know, the last time it was really impressive to see them make the top 8.
Yeah, it was. And it was nice to be able to actually interview them. It's kind of sucks that they immediately disbanded after the finals, because I thought they had a pretty strong setup. But it is what it is. And I'm hoping that the exposure that some of those teams and some of those players got helped them maybe, or at least give them a chance to change their tactics a little bit and look at doing things a little bit differently to come back with a stronger presence this year. That was what I would like to see, at least.
Well, that's a good thing to look forward to.
Yeah. So the next thing on the Halo community update is the matchmaking season has ended for this last one, and we got a pretty new emblem for everyone that participated. So Tuesday, January 10th, officially kicked off the January-February 2017 season for matchmaking. So go ahead and start playing your games, getting your ranks, so you can get a ranking and get your emblem for when they end it in February or March, depending on whatever they decide to end it, because they ended a little late this time around, probably just because of the holidays. But they, in the past, they've done a pretty good job of doing it or changing it over the first of the month. So that, I expect that's what it will happen. The Team Arena preview is still out there. They're still testing some new settings for HCS. So if you're into the competitiveness of Halo, then you still have a chance to check out the preview phase, I think. Or no, I take that back. The preview phase is done. Final maps and layouts are done.
Yeah, they've got them up on their file share if you want to download them to play on them.
Yep, I missed that in the skim of my reading of the Halo update. So sorry about that, folks. So make sure you get your games in if you want the emblems. I always go and rank myself in SWAT, since that seems to be the most quick and dirty way to get an arena game done of any of the ranked playlists. There are some experience and RP boost changes coming about with some of the specific playlists and some of the boosts overall, especially for things like the infection playlist and other things. Some of those boosts are getting a boost, where you'll get more XP and RP per boost that you use, or just earned in general while playing. And the amount of all boost cards are actually going up across all the arena matchmaking playlists. So arena jackpot, RP and XP boosts, along with the like wins, assists, kills, and all that stuff, will get a little bit higher payouts. Some can be close to double, which is a lot. So for anyone who hasn't reached 151 or 152 yet, Erikibu, or to help you get to 152, you can use those red cards to finally get you there.
It's still a grind to get there.
Oh, it is.
At least you can get there a little faster now.
Exactly. So we kind of alluded to this, I guess, last week. I guess it was still eight players before, but they're limiting the Warzone. Well, I guess this is Firefight, so they limited to six players for a fire team going into Warzone. And there's a lot of feedback that they've gotten, especially with people getting like blowout wins or losses. And apparently that's has seemed to decrease, but it's kind of impacted like people wanting to go in with 12 man lobbies. And a lot of people were kind of upset about that. So they're still working on that and looking on ways to accommodate that. They're still keeping the six man fire team, but they at least put some feedback out there saying that they're looking at ways to accommodate the larger groups, whether that's going to be through a separate playlist or something else. They're looking at possibilities and potentials in order to accommodate those different parts of the community. So the first ones that come to mind really for me are the Halo Wheelmen, the ones that absolutely steamrolled us when we played before the Spartans versus Troop streams last year, and who came on and taught us how to play pretty much.
You know, the nice thing is they're one of the groups that is willing to share their knowledge and, you know, teach people how to not only win quickly, but defend against the win, you know, that steamroll attack. So, you know, if you know how to do it, then you can come up with a strategy on how to defend against it, which then you get a more normal Warzone match.
Right.
And, you know, if they have a specific playlist for 12-person teams where you are required to launch the playlist, have a 12-person team, then that's great. I mean, that seems a good idea. Don't know how practical it is, but we'll hopefully we get some more information on that here pretty soon.
Yes, we will. So the next thing is the next Warzone Mythic Weekend. Starts tomorrow, the 13th, and goes to the 15th, and it's going to be on Raid on Apex 7. So, I know you've played a lot more Mythic Warzone than I have, so what are you expecting for this to really be kind of the troublesome points for Raid on Apex 7? You foresee any?
Spire is probably going to be
anything around Spire. Hey, thanks, Hoss, for subscribing. 2 months.
Hey, Hoss! We've got some things to say to you. Anyway,
for later. Yes. Sorry for interrupting.
With Warzone on Raid on Apex 7, you know, anything around the Spire is probably going to be pretty difficult. As far as the beaches don't seem to be as difficult because you've got a lot more room to move around and a lot more cover you can get to, and you can engage at long range. But anything around the Spire, you've got to get up close and personal. With the amount of damage that the mythic enemies can incur, being up close and personal is not exactly the best place. I suspect a lot of losses.
So one of the things I notice whenever I go and do my daily Warzone firefights and whatnot is whenever it gets to the third, fourth, or fifth round, sometimes you'll be stuck on one side of the map and have to go all the way to the other side just to find the boss, and it can cost you a good 45 seconds to a minute of time. So do you have a particular strategy that you use? I always try to at least go towards the beach on the outer side and stay there whenever I'm in transition between those later rounds.
Well, it kind of all depends on where, you know, see that, especially on Raid on Apex 7, the vehicle spawning, it's going to spawn you on the in the opposite base. So if you're bringing in tanks or Mantis or Wraiths or anything like that, you've got a long trip because you've got to traverse to the other side of the map. If you're going to engage with your weapons, like, you know, Answer or fuel rods or anything like that, get that. And if you have the wreck, grab a mongoose and beat feet to the other side of the map. That's about all you can do. Or... you know, if you're not sure where they're going to spawn, because there is a pattern. And as you play more of the Mythic firefight, you will pick up the pattern, especially since it's on the same map. You'll kind of be able to expect what's next and you can start heading that way. But my recommendation is if you're not sure where they're going to spawn, be at Spire because it's the shortest distance between the two points. You can quickly get to either you know, either of the garages, whether it be you on foot or, well, you'd be on foot. And as far as your weapon choice, that's totally up to what boss spawns. You know, some bosses, you really do need, you know, you need to bring in a lot of tanks or Gauss turrets or Ultra Banshees, things like that, because you need the extra firepower. Because especially in that fifth round, those mythic bosses, they take a lot of punishment to take them down. You know, in regular heroic or regular Warzone before they split it up into three levels, everybody knows that a mythic boss, you really got to pound on it. Well, triple it for mythic Warzone, because those bosses are, they just got a lot of health and they can absorb a lot of punishment. Be smart about how you attack the boss. Like if you have hunters, make sure that you know, you've got people moving around behind the hunters. Same with Warden, to hit the soft spot in the back. And it also keeps them moving so that they're less likely to use their heavy attack, like with hunters, the fuel rod cannon. You know, if you keep them moving and you don't give them a chance to actually set, then they can produce less fire. But, you know, you got to be careful with that. When they start turning for you, you need to make sure you find cover, because they will blow right through you pretty quick. If it's the Grunt Goblin, good luck.
There you go, folks. There's a little bit of possibility that you might be doing that tomorrow for Fragment Fridays, right?
That all depends on if the lobby's brave enough to try.
So I know we're kind of skipping ahead a little bit, but how have the lobbies been for Fragment Fridays, and how much have you guys ventured into doing the Mythic firefight?
Well, last weekend we didn't go into Mythic. Actually had a large enough lobby. We went into Customs, and we played a lot of fun Customs. One of the people that joined us, I can't think of the name of the map, but suggested a map. And the Forger has created basically a bunker, and he has created a point system, or he kind of created his own little rec system. You earn points by killing the mantises, which he's got scripted to move towards you.
This is actually in the update, so I'm glad you're actually talking about this.
But it's really a cool map. What was the name of it?
Hang on, let me scroll down, because it's the Knight of the Mantis.
Yeah, Knight of the Mantis. Anyway, he has all the mantises that they come charging towards you, and it's all automated. They're scripted to move forward. And the great thing is, on the opening cutscene, you actually see mantises walking across the map, the feet moving and walking across the map. Of course, you know, they're crouched and their hatches are open. But, you know, you have the standard mantis, you have the corpse mantis, you have the Oni mantis. Each one of those has different health rates. Standard mantis is low, moves at a medium speed. The corpse mantis is low health, but it moves faster. The Oni has high health, but moves slow. And then you have the Tundra mantis, which is, it's right in the middle, medium health, medium speed. And then you have the Hannibal, which is your hardest one to kill. It has high health and very fast movement. The nice thing about those is they do put a danger indicator on them to let you know that they are coming, so that you can coordinate with your fire team and focus fire on those, because it does take a lot of fire to bring them down. When you spawn in, you have a rack of ARs with the vehicle damaging bullets. I can't think of the name of them now. Brain fart. But anyway, you know, they actually do a really good job of taking out most of the mantises. And it's an infinite spawn. You can go over there and respawn. You can go over there and refill anytime you want. One tip is, you are all on separate. It's a free for all, but you are working as a team to kill the mantis. The goal is to kill the mantis as they come towards you. So be careful when you're using high powered weapons like fuel rods or chain guns or snipers, because auto aim will pull your aim into your teammates. So you've got to be very careful about that. Thank you, Eric Yabu. Kinetic bolts on the AR.
Oh, okay.
Now, as you progress through the rounds, you earn points. There's a room behind you filled with weapons. Some are 5 points, some are 10 points, some are 15, some are 20, some are 30. As you earn points, you can go back there and buy weapons. But you have to coordinate with your team because there's only one pile of points. So all the kills that everybody gets, it's cumulative. So if you go back there and buy a 30 point item, and all you had is 30 points, you only get that one item.
And no one else can get any more.
The nice thing is with the weapons that have actual ammo capacities, you know, your fuel rods, your sniper rifles, rail guns, in between each round, you can go back there and you can refill them. You don't have to buy them again. But your higher powered ones, like I think there's a George's chain gun in there. I believe you have to buy it every time. So you got to be smart with your points to make sure that, you know, everybody is in agreement of what the best thing to pick is. And, you know, as you pick up as you get weapons, you know, if you want to buy another weapon, make sure somebody picks up the one you just dropped. So if you've got a rail gun and you want to switch to the sniper rifle, make sure somebody picks up that rail gun because they can refill it and they can still use it. And then, you know, by, you know, middle of the game, everybody's got a power weapon to help take care of these Hannibal mantises, which, like I said, they do take a lot of damage before you kill them. But it was a lot of fun. We played a little bit of prop hunt. That is...
Wait, there's prop hunt in Halo 5 now?
There is prop hunt in Halo 5.
What?
And they've got a good twist to it. Instead of just being rocks or boxes, you can be a tree. You can be a cone. Of course, you can be crates. I think there's a chair in there. I don't know how they did it, but mongooses are invisible. You're invisible. The one thing you need to do when you're playing this game is make sure when you find your hiding spot to switch to the passenger seat so the headlights on the mongoose turn off. Because while you're in the driver's seat, you have these two glowing lights that stick out of the front. So, you know, it's like, here I am. But anyway, it's a lot of fun.
So wouldn't someone be able to just determine what you are if they just run into the mongoose?
No.
Really? They walk through it?
You know, most of the items are big enough that it hides the mongoose. Like the cone, yeah, if somebody walks the right way and walks right up next to it, they might notice it if they're paying attention. But you spawn with a blaze of glory in a railgun. You have limited amount of ammo. So, you know, you have to pound on things and ground pound and Spartan charge to try to identify where they're hiding. And a lot of the stuff, it makes the same sound. You have to really listen for the sound of you hitting the mongoose. Because when you hit the mongoose, it gives you kind of real tinny sound where, you know, pretty much everything else, it's pretty just solid thump. And most time, it takes two shots from the Blaze of Glory to destroy the mongoose or, you know, to kill the player. But I've seen some interesting things happen as far as hiding places. We were playing and we were getting late in the round and there was two of us left. And everybody that was a hunter was out there and they walked around me like five times a piece. They hit everything around me except me. I am not joking. Every piece of prop out there, they meleeed, but they missed. They didn't hit my box. And I thought for sure I was going to win. But with like 30 seconds left, one of them found me.
Oh, ouch.
But so the Forgers are getting their game on. That is the best prop hunt I think I've ever played.
Wow.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, the Knight of the Mantis has four difficulties. You have easy, standard, hardcore, and turbo. Easy, of course, you know, everything's got relatively low health. Comparatively, standard, everything has normal health. Hardcore, everything gets increased health. And then turbo, everything moves faster and has increased health.
It sounds awesome.
It's a lot of fun. It really is.
That's just incredible.
The amount of scripting in this, yeah, the amount of scripting in this game type is unbelievable. I mean, he has a wave indicator that tells you what wave you have completed, what wave you're on, and how many you have left. You have in there, you have a one-time use button that destroys everything. You also have an infinite ammo button that is a one-time use and it lasts for 10 seconds. So you have infinite ammo for 10 seconds. You have a grenade dispenser. Of course, there's damage boosts and the ARs at the very beginning. you have different, and in the room you have different weapons, and the costs are displayed right above the right above the weapon, so you know what kind of cost it's going to be for the points.
The only downside is it doesn't look like, because I just tried searching for the game type, and the game type's not on Halo 5 file share.
You probably have to go to the person's personal file share.
Yeah, I tried searching for it on the content browser.
I think Forge Labs has it.
Yeah, their thing says use the in-game file browser to search for the gamer tag. So maybe the Halo Waypoint one doesn't work the same way. Because the only thing that shows up on the Halo Waypoint content browser is Avalanche from him. So maybe that has to be done in the game.
Let me check my own personal and I'll see if I can get a gamer tag that you can look up.
Well, the gamer tag is listed on the update, so I'm assuming it's going to be the same one, but I guess we'll find out.
Well, that's what I'm going to look at, because I did save the game type.
Well, while you do that, I'm just going to let everyone know that you can find more about this on the latest community update. It is the featured community spotlight, and it has a bunch of different helpful images that go over all the stuff that explains the cost of the upgrades and the waves and the different Mantis points and all that stuff. So it's all there for you to go and try. And then there's a Forge Labs video that's about 22 minutes long that talks about it and shows a playthrough of it as well. So some more stuff in the community update is some people found some footage of a canceled Halo Mega Bloks game. This was last week, and then Bonnie officially made a statement regarding it, and it was an Xbox 360 title that was referred to as Project Hagar, and it was something that 343 and Mega Bloks was working on, but eventually they decided to cancel the project, and it's basically Halo and Mega Bloks, so kind of similar to some of the older Lego games that you've seen, and like all of the stuff is made out of Mega Bloks. It's kind of a third person over the shoulder shooter type of thing. There's a little GIF up on the community update, and there's some stuff that's been shown around on Twitter and Reddit and all that stuff. But unfortunately, it did not come to fruition and they canceled it. But Bonnie Ross made a statement and she said, "Over the past few days, footage has recently made the rounds of an exploratory 360 project we worked on several years ago, known as Hagar. Since then, received a lot of great feedback from the community. Hagar was something we prototyped with our friends at Mega Bloks that focused on the elements of action, exploration, and user creativity found within the Halo universe. Hagar had a lot of fun ideas and invention behind it, but ultimately didn't progress beyond the early prototyping levels that are shown in the recent video. This is just one example of several similar projects that we have evaluated throughout the years, process that we continue exploring on an ongoing basis." Just like the, what was it, Halo 2600 DS game?
Yeah.
Trying to think what other projects I've heard of that were considered to be official games that eventually got canceled. I know there's one other one that I've heard of at least before, but I can't think of any others. I'm sure Laird can chime in on some of the other Halo titles that were considered and eventually canned. But it would have been interesting to see something like this kind of come full circle.
Yeah, most definitely.
People really enjoy the Lego games, and having a Mega Bloks game for Halo, I could see that being pretty successful. It gives a little more leeway to kind of a cartoonish thing that they could do that maybe would be able to just have fun outside of the fiction. I don't think they would do anything like maybe official universe canonical stuff with the game. And maybe it would give them a little freedom in that.
Well, it's interesting that the game type is not on his file share.
Even on the Xbox One file share. Or I guess the Halo 5 file share in game.
Yeah, let me double check the Halo 5 file share. If anybody has trouble finding it, I do have it in my bookmarks. So if you want to just browse my bookmarks, that works too.
There you go. The last thing that's non-Halo Wars 2 specific. There's a couple of things. There's another Forge Spotlight that kind of goes over some things that Forge Hub had posted. There's a self-playing piano. There's Halo Wipeout. And then there's an aesthetic castle that was made. But other than that, for with without regards of the Halo Wars 2 stuff. There is a 343 spotlight for Olga Zinoveva, and she was named as one of Forbes' prestigious 30 under 30 for working with Microsoft Studios at 343 Industries. I haven't really had a chance to read through this at all, but she is basically handles all the characters and enemies and how they kind of fit into the Halo games from a cinematic perspective, how they go into the games, I guess. So she's a producer on the Halo character team. So that's kind of as far as I got. We'll read through it and we'll talk about it more next week when we have the time to actually digest all this stuff. But there is an interview up there, and it's actually been a while since we've seen an interview. I think the last one we had was for Brian Gerard when he became community manager. And before that, I don't think we really had much of a who's who of the studio before that. So it's a nice little look into the studio. So if you have a chance, go over and read that. And we'll recap it for next week when we actually have time to read through the interview and actually do it justice. So on to Halo Wars 2 stuff, which I'm sure everybody's excited for with the upcoming Blitz beta that is coming on January 20th, 8 days after the recording of this podcast. And just before that, you'll see some news outlets start reporting on some stuff regarding Blitz, including us. We got a chance to get an early look at Halo Wars 2 Blitz and some new campaign stuff over the past week. And we'll be showing that off on our YouTube, and we'll be discussing it on the podcast as well. We have a little interview with Clay, I forget his last name at the moment, and Al Hope, who are some of the developers on the project. So we got some nice little Halo Wars 2 goodies coming out and coinciding with the beta release. But before we get into the beta details, let's go ahead and wrap up the community update. So Halo Wars 2 pre-orders. There are physical editions coming to Halo Wars 2 for PC, for I guess Windows 10 specifically, and Xbox One. So that was something that we hadn't really had news of before, but some stuff came out over the past week or two, and they finally made an official announcement of it in the bulletin, or I guess kind of just clarified some things. So Xbox One and Windows 10 will have physical copies of the games that you will be able to obtain. And with that comes retail pre-order bonuses. And for all the Halo collectors out there, it's time to start pulling out that cash out of your savings account, because you're going to be going to a bunch of different retailers to get all your special bonuses.
Yeah, all over the world.
Yes.
The finish up on the Manus game type, if you search the in-game browser, it does show up by his gamer tag. And they don't give his whole gamer tag on the website. It is, you add a 1224 to the end of it, and that is his gamer tag. I would pronounce it, but you'd never be able to spell it the way I pronounce it. So check out the beta, or check out the community update, and it will show you his gamer tag. Just add 1224 to the end of his gamer tag, and you will find his bookmarks in the in-game browser.
So it includes the 1224 on the update, but it just doesn't work on the web browser, I guess.
I didn't see it, but maybe I'm just looking in the wrong spot.
Yeah. It's at the very end, right before the play of the week, it says, to get the mode and all the difficulty options, add Juliana's 1224 on Xbox Live.
Well, that's probably why, because I didn't look all the way down at the bottom. I looked at the top.
It's okay.
But anyway, just search him on the in Halo 5, and it will pop up. Or if I'm already on your friends list, just look at my bookmarks, and you can bookmark them from there, too.
Okay, so for the pre-orders, they've gone ahead and shown off some of the pre-order bonuses. Unfortunately, they haven't told us which retailer is tied to which specific pre-order bonuses, but we do know so far that Australia is having a steelbook case for Xbox One. Laird was the one that told me about that, so Laird, let me know if they have that for PC as well. I think it's just Xbox One, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. There's some patches that you can get. There is a banished patch and a spirit of fire patch that you'll be able to nab. It's a little collectibles patch set. And then, of course, there's some of the digital pre-order bonuses. So one example that they gave is there's going to be a Captain Cutter pack. And you can get some cards for your Blitz deck. And the one that they're showing off is a Triple Hornet. That's 130 points. Marines, which is 20 points. Hellbringers, which is 10 points. Close Air Support, which is 180 points. And an ODST drop, which is 80 points. And we are able to talk about how a lot of that stuff translates to Blitz mode. We will talk about it. Not much I can say at the moment.
Everything's so hush-hush.
Yes. Larry clarified for me that the Steelbook is from GameStop in Australia. The Halo Legendary crate for February is Halo Wars 2 themed as well. With the little limited edition statues, we have a statue of Atriox with his Warhammer smashing the ground. So it's another little addition to the loot crate exclusive items. And of course the theme is called Atriox and the Banished. So there you go. And again, you can go over to lootcrate.com/podtacular and at checkout use the code podtacular for $3 off any new subscription. So if you do it via month to month, you're looking for a new subscription, then you can use the code podtacular and get your discount. With that, we have some Halo Wars 2 Blitz stuff. We had a trailer get released, what was it, yesterday?
Yeah.
As of this recording?
Mm-hmm.
So, Blitz is going to be coming out, or the beta, sorry, it's going to be coming out on Windows 10 and Xbox One, beginning on January 20th, and you'll be able to play through Blitz mode for 11 days. It ends on the 30th. There's one map that you'll be playing on, which is called Proving Grounds, which offers 1v1, 2v2, and 3v3 gameplay via matchmaking. And you'll be able to play with faction leaders and all the Blitz cards and faction leaders that will be available in game on launch on February 21st. So you'll get to do kind of a full test run of the system and see how you find out or what you think about it. I will say this. Any notions that you have of a rec system, put it aside. Because the system doesn't quite work like a rec system. So if anyone had any worries about it being a rec system, you don't have to worry about it. That's really all I can say without getting into details. But everyone's worry over it being a rec system, I think, will be happily surprised at what they're going to be able to play with this. And it's a lot of fun. It adds a different little element to it. So, just as with any kind of new Halo thing, it's always fun to try it. So, it'll be interesting to see what people think about it after having a week and a half to play it. But, get in on it next weekend and have fun with it. What are you looking forward to most with it, GT?
Blowing stuff up. No, I'm looking forward just to play the game. You know, I got a taste of it a few months ago, and I've been itching to play it ever since. I would like to spend some time with it and, you know, spend some time with it with PC to see if I can figure out keyboard controls and stuff. But most likely, I will probably be playing controller.
So I'm going to try to learn mouse and keyboard. It took me a little bit when I was playing during the press preview, but once I actually had a chance to get the feel for the mouse and keyboard, it actually worked pretty well. So it's just kind of a matter of whatever your preference is. I mean, they've made this to kind of coincide with both controller and then mouse and keyboard. So I'm sure whatever people want to go with, it will work either way. But being that it is an RTS and you have the ability to play it on PC, my personal recommendation would be get used to the mouse and keyboard because it's a lot more versatile and you can do a lot more things a lot more quickly with mouse and keyboard. But that's just my take.
Most definitely.
There's also an incentive to play in the beta, the Blitz beta. For one that plays, they're going to give two free in-game Blitz cards packs in the final retailer version that ships. So you'll earn one by just logging into the beta, and you'll earn another one after you complete your first matchmaking match.
Yay, so, free stuff. You know, wish I could you could take some of the stuff with you, but I understand why they don't do that. So it's nice that you get something out of it.
Yeah, might leave an unfair advantage on launch day.
Just a little bit.
Just a bit. I wish I could say more. I'm restricted from saying more for another week. In a week, you'll hear more from me. We might need to... I'm thinking next week, we might do the podcast on Thursday again. That way I can talk about it because that's a special day. That's when embargo lifts.
It's a special day.
Yes. News on Halo Wars 2. That's embargo day. So I think we'll do it on Thursday for next week.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
That's fine.
All right. Cool.
That works for me.
Sweet. Again, Blitz is going to be available on Windows 10 and Xbox One. I believe just like Halo 5 Forge, you have to have the anniversary update and probably some of the latest patches as well to play it. So make sure your PC is up to date. I did see over in our Discord chat earlier that the latest Windows update, the one that got released this week, actually has some issues if you have a dual monitor setup or a multi-monitor setup and do games on there. So possibly stay away from that patch or uninstall the patch if it's giving you issues with playing games in a multi-monitor setup. So a word of caution brought to you from Laird.
So it looks like I will be playing it on Xbox.
So I'm going to try to play it on Windows 10. I have the definitive edition I could at least test it out with that I haven't touched yet.
Yeah.
So there is that.
I run a multi-monitor setup, so I will probably try it and see if it works, but I'm not unplugging monitors.
Multi-monitor is the only way to go. Once you go multi-monitors, you never go back. You just don't. It is what it is. So that's pretty much it for tonight. We'll have more to discuss next week as we read through the interview with the person from 343. And I'm hoping I'm saying her name right. I'm sorry if I'm butchering it, but Olga Zinoveva. We'll read through the interview about that and kind of talk about it more next week. And we'll also talk about Halo Wars 2 Blitz mode and some campaign stuff next week as well. Looking forward to what you guys have to say about Blitz mode. I personally had fun with it. I think you guys will too. It's a nice new way of playing an RTS. And I think it works well with Halo.
It definitely is different. I can't say that I've seen anything like that.
I don't think I have either. Granted, I'm not a big RTS player, so I don't know how the RTS scene is currently. But it's not something that... just kind of my general knowledge of video games goes. It's not something that I've seen. I'll leave it at that. One more thing I wanted to bring up, which is we're kind of a little late on the ball on this, which I'm sorry about that, but Forge Hub is hosting a Griffball Forging Contest, which started last month and it actually ends on January 28th. And there's actually prize money going towards it. So... top three placings get money, so the top three maps get $200 each, and then the top community-voted map gets an additional $300 for a total of $500, so forge some maps and get some money off of it. You can forge on anything that you want, but you have to use blank canvases, and there's some other requirements that you have. It has to be created after November 1st, 2016. And it's going to be used for matchmaking consideration as well. And maps can be submitted to Forge Hub or Griffball Hub. And there's a lot more details over on Forge Hub as well. I've been meaning to make a post about it on the front page, but haven't been able to do that yet. So it's a little late on the ball, but if anyone is a big-time forger listening to this and really like Griffball, then you have about a week left if you want to try making some Griffball maps. And heading on over to submit them. And plus, Forge is cool with how much stuff we're getting on with Forge. So,
It'll be fun to see what the Forgers come up with.
And they have some judges that are going to be looking at this. From Forge Hub, Warholic, Nitro, and Alex Van 123, and then from Griffball Hub, Rage War Nerd, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Bad Alley Cat. And then from 343 Industries, Sketch is going to be looking at them for consideration into matchmaking. And inevitably, I think Unishek will probably be helping behind the scenes as well, since he's kind of the... I almost think John is kind of the cartographer for the matchmaking playlist, almost.
Yeah. I mean, what he's been doing, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean...
He's been really involved with Forge, so...
And customs and supporting it. So while he may not be a creator of Forge and customs content, he's definitely a curator of one.
Especially with the infection.
Yes. He loves his infection. Absolutely loves it.
Yeah, we could tell.
So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the podcast. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Again, we'll be back with more details next week with regards to the Blitz beta and Halo Wars 2, with what I got to see this week during the press event for Halo Wars 2. And we're just around the corner for Halo 5 being released. Or sorry, not Halo 5, Halo Wars 2 being released February 21st, right?
Uh-huh.
Literally 5 weeks or so away from coming out. A little late for a beta. It's more kind of a tease, I think, more than anything else at this point. But it'll be nice to get some hands-on with it. I'm pretty sure the community is going to like it. At least I really enjoyed it. I hope everyone likes it. And we'll get some feedback from the show after that as well to see what you guys say. So if you guys, whenever you get the beta, and we'll say this again next week, but when you get the beta, share with us your experience. Let us know what you think of the game mode and what you think of the Blitz cards and the system that it's employing and all that stuff, because I personally think it's fantastic and I want to see what you guys have to say about it. Let us know. All right, so wrapping things up, make sure you check us out on our social media platforms. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch. You might want to pay particular attention to YouTube, because once the media embargo lifts, we're going to be posting some gameplay footage that we got of Halo Wars 2 campaign and of Blitz and of some other multiplayer. I think we played Deathmatch and Domination. I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember. But we'll have some multiplayer gameplay and some campaign gameplay that we'll go through. And we'll also have the podcast next week, and we have an interview with Clay and Al from the development team on Halo Wars 2 that we'll be releasing on that day as well. So make sure you are checked out to the podcast feed as well. And we got confirmation from Haas, one of our former Podtacular staff members, that Podtacular is showing up on Windows phones. So hooray!
Whee!
Microsoft loves us again. Yay! So you can find us on Windows Phone and any kind of Windows-based podcast app thing. Is it technically Zune? Is it Groove? What is it called? Bing Podcasts? Xbox Podcasts?
Podcasts.
Just podcasts?
Yeah, on the phone, it's just labeled as podcasts. It's part of the Groove.
Windows Podcasts.
Yeah, it's part of the Groove package. It's part of the Groove Media Player Suite. In like the phone, you have independent players for music, for video, for podcasts. It's not just one, one player like the old Zune player where, you had one player, but it was broken up into categories. You had video here, audio or music here, podcasts here, video podcasts here. They don't break it up like they used to.
Got it. So Groove Podcast, basically, because we have, for Apple, it's iTunes. For Google, it's the Play Podcasts. And I guess for Apple, for Windows, it's Groove Podcasts. Anywho. But yay, we're on there, which is cool. And so go check us out. Make sure you also check out our Loot Crate. We already mentioned it earlier. But if you go on over to lootcrate.com/podtacular or podtacular.com/lootcrate, either one will work. Then use the code PODTACULAR at checkout. You'll get $3 off your Halo crate And I believe the I think the code was supposed to work for any new subscription that could be other than Halo, but since I already have all the subscriptions I want, I can't verify. So if anyone else has had success in using that for other subscriptions in the past, please let me know. But that's how it's supposed to work. So again, lootcrate.com/podtacular, and then use the code podtacular at checkout to receive $3 off any new subscription. And you can also check us out for Fraggin' Fridays, Godzilla T, Godzilla Todd, hosts a game lobby every Friday night starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 5:30 p.m. Pacific and 1:30 a.m. GMT for customs, firefight, Warzone, matchmaking, whatever the lobby chooses for that day. They go and pursue whatever everyone wants to play. So make sure you check that out. And also, I'm going to give a little shout out love, because GT is pretty consistent about doing this, but his Hunt for Junk series on his personal YouTube channel. And I believe your channel is Godzilla Todd on YouTube.
Godzilla Todd, all one word.
So check him out on YouTube. He does his Hunt for Junk about every 2 weeks or so whenever he accumulates enough packs. I should be letting you say all this because it's your freaking video series.
Yeah, basically what I do is roughly about 100,000. When I collect around 100,000 rec points, I go in and buy a bunch of gold packs, and then I do a video of opening them. Some weeks that is 1 week. Sometimes it's 2 weeks. It kind of all depends on, you know, how busy personal life gets, because everybody knows that gets in the way. Unlike Eric Abu, which has, you know, all the free time in the world.
We're not envious at all, if you can
tell.
No,
not at all.
Nope, not one bit.
But, you know, unfortunately, life gets in the way. But I just released another one this week. I opened up 7 gold packs. I was a little short, but I wanted to get one out this week. Didn't get anything really good. I mean, I got some decent stuff, but, you know, the Phaeton the week before, that kind of topped everything. It was finally nice to get a Phaeton, let alone a certification for it. So I haven't seen another one yet. Or no, I take that back. I did get one. I did get one Phaeton this last opening.
Nice.
But like I said, I just go through and I open the pack. I kind of quickly scroll through them. I don't read off every rec pack that I get, but the ones that interest me, I mention, you know, like the Answer, one of my favorite weapons in the game. Except for when I'm on the receiving end of it, then it's not my favorite no more.
Yeah. It's probably, and I've said this before, I think when I was on Drunken Halo, but it's my favorite weapon that's been out there is the Answer.
Yeah, and it's more the fact that it pretty much destroys everything. The sound of it, you know, the sound of it when you're hitting something, that,
yeah,
it just, you know, it's so satisfying.
The knockback and the explosions and, yeah, all that good stuff.
Although here lately, the Bloody Suban has been giving it a pretty good run for the money for that top spot. That thing is wicked.
What the heck, Eric Yabu? He has 134 wasps.
Like I said, he sits around and plays video games all day.
Jeez, God. Wow. Anywho. But yeah, no, that's awesome. The Blood Saban, it just sounds satisfying, and then having the needle explosion is kind of a doubly added effect, which is just kind of cool. 281 Blood Saban.
I don't think Eric Yabu actually uses any of his wrecks. He just collects them. I think he's going for like 1,000 of each.
What was the one Warzone thing that they had a while ago where it's like you got an instant level 9?
Warzone Turbo?
Yes. That's what you need it for, is Warzone Turbo. Then every time you spawn, you just get a new power weapon.
Yeah, you know, if I had that much stuff laying around, I would love to see Warzone Turbo come back.
Yeah. Moving on, you can also check out our podcast network. We are part of a set of gaming-specific podcasts over at podka.st, which includes Guardian Radio, Critzcast, Podcast 76, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. They're great podcasts to listen to, very well produced. Whether you are interested in the games that they talk about, or if you're just looking for some other gaming specific podcasts with good quality and good hosts to listen to, then I would definitely recommend that you check out the network. Again, you can follow them over at podka.st and find all the podcasts listed there for your enjoyment. We also have the Halo Bowl coming up. We officially recorded it last night, so it's kind of officially out there now, although nothing's really been published quite yet. But we are hosting it, or we are playing in it. We're not hosting, but we're playing in it on January 25th, starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And we have developed our team, which includes returning members Keys, EG, and Itanium. And we have a new member, Nuick, from our Spartan company. And Dusk Xander, who was on our team last time, he is our sub for our team. We are welcome to have two new podcasts in the tournament, the Bad Halo podcast and the Let's Talk Halo shows. One of them, I can't remember which one at the moment, but one of them focuses on the competitive Halo stuff. I think that's the Let's Talk Halo side of things. And they're both pretty relatively new, but we still have Drunken Halo, who won last year, Podcast Evolved, and Delta Halo participating. So we have six different podcasts participating, and we are also looking to raise funds again for Gamers Outreach to support a go-kart. So for anyone that's interested in learning about more of the story behind the second Halo Bowl and kind of the first, and to donate to Gamers Outreach to support the cart, then you can head on over to bit.ly/HaloBowl2. All one word, no dashes, with the number 2. And we're also having some giveaway items as well. We have some of the Halo Conflict legendary crates that will be given out for people who donate to the go-kart. And we also have some other prizes that we are currently getting a hold of to give away. Some Mega Block stuff. We have a Halo 5 Limited Collector's Edition that we're giving away. And some other things that we're still trying to work with other partners in getting. But it's going to be a fun-filled event. We had a great time last time. We raised $1,687 to go towards a go-kart. And we're looking to up that this time by fully funding a go-kart, which costs about $3,500 to $4,000. So we hope that you will be able to join us and help us contribute and support a great cause. And you can find out more about Gamers Outreach and the go-karts by heading over to gamersoutreach.org. For anyone who wants the Halo connection, while she is a huge supporter for it. Well, a lot of people from Halo are huge supporters of it, but while she is a very big icon for Gamers Outreach. Hope you guys can join us for that and cheer on your favorite podcasts.
Buzz.
Yes, of course. So that'll do it for us. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, whether it's via Twitch on the live show or via downloads via iTunes or Google Play or now on Groove Podcasts. However you download us, thank you for listening. And we will catch you next week with some more Halo Wars 2 goodness. Keep on fragging the banished.